All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Sandy Williams. It's Mondays with Sandy Williams. And Dave from Mech One has been hanging on. Hey, Dave, I see you. What's going on?
Hey, good morning. It's a shame. I wanted to ask Matt a couple questions. And, you know, the thing is this. So I was listening to the conversation with the FICA taxes and everything else. What's going to end up happening, though, is right now the FICA tax, I believe, is capped at $147,000.
That's what he said.
But it's adjusted for inflation every year. So what's going to happen is, eventually, that 147 is going to eventually move up to where it gets to that threshold where eventually one day it will meet 400,000. So naturally, everybody, you know, is going to be in that predicament as far as, you know, paying between 6.2% between the employee and the employer. Because I'm self-employed, I end up paying both of those. And what it's going to do, and what I don't think people realize is this, anybody that's close to that threshold around 400,000, they're going to go under that amount. So they're not going to pay that additional 12.4%, because if you really look at it, why would you, you know, for the extra, you know, a little bit of extra money, why would you pay that additional 12%? You know, going forward. So I think there has to be a discussion with that. That's number one. And number two, the thing that I didn't realize this, when my father took his Social Security at an early age, and because a lot of seniors have been doing that because of the inflation that's been so rampant now the last year and a half, you're penalized if you go back to work. And you will end up, your paycheck with the Social Security.
That's correct. You basically give a dollar for a dollar until you turn 67 years old.
Yeah, no, what I'm saying is if you go back to work, though, you know, and you don't report, if you're over, let's say you make over $20,000, $25,000 a year, there's additional.
Hey Dave, the way it's set up, way it's set up is once you take it and you take it early and you under the age of 67 and you are working, it's a dollar for a dollar. So every extra dollar you make, you pay an extra dollar in taxes. Over $12,000. But go ahead.
Right. So again, you know, it's punitive because, you know, when you have inflation and you literally have people now that have to go back to work, they're being punished.
Okay, but
wait, Social Security is COLA adjusted. And so the COLA adjustment has been pretty accurate. So the fact is that Social Security itself isn't enough to not work for most people. So if they don't have a separate income, if they don't have a separate pension, if that's all the income they have, it's very hard for them. But they could have kept working at age 62 if they went back to work. I think the government's thought is, well, you were able to work. You went early on this. We don't want to promote people going early into Social Security. We want to discourage that. Mm-hmm. So they discourage it in that very fashion that you've described for your father. So I'm not sure that isn't without a policy merit. You know, there's an onus to it, and some people suffer the onus, but that was intended by the policy. You know, Social Security is a very interesting phenomena, and it's complicated, but it's definitely something that the U.S. government can't do without. And the 401k program has not been adequate. It's clear that people would have to exercise savings discipline beyond the maximum 401k contributions to be certain that they could have an adequate income in retirement.
You know, Sandy, and you stated off the air that it's going to be even more important as we move forward.
Well, I mean, one of the things, Dave, you were talking about is how inflation is going to get that 147 adjusted all the way up to 400 some point. Well, of course, the dollar will have depreciated. That inflation does reflect a reality with respect to the value of dollars. And all of us are both earning money and paying taxes now at a far bigger number and a far, it's astronomic compared to what I paid in 1968 or, you know. But I was doing just fine in 1968. With my income, which was double digit, and was living an affluent life. So I don't think you can take those inflation numbers and try to scare people today about the fact that when it gets to when inflation gets us up to 400, that it's going to be something to argue about. You know, inflation.
Well, all I see is this, is that the dollar, you know, obviously the dollars that you have saved is becoming worth less and less every day. It's taking a bite out of the apple every day just because even with wages going up, it's not enough to compensate for the inflation that
The whole idea, though, with respect to 401ks was that it would be invested, right? And investments definitely can include inflation hedges. And there's no question that people who've been invested in stocks, for instance, have done far better than inflation over the long period of time. They aren't doing better than inflation over the last running 12 months. But they are doing a lot better than inflation over the last 25 years.
But the percentage of people that are in the stock market is very small. Now, granted, there are public pensions that are obviously tied into Wall Street. But their pensions are going to be affected if slower growth occurs and what have you. And then have to make up the difference in the pension. And so you have that culmination of where you see, like the state of Illinois is a good example.
Well, wait, David. Just before we get mired in the in the forest of all these trees, what you're talking about is you're making the argument against the privatization of Social Security. That was the argument that was being made against what President Bush was recommending in 2004, and I agree with it. And that is that individuals left to their own predilections are going to be hard pressed to take their 401ks and get them all properly invested in the stock market and to properly hedge themselves against inflation. Social Security is hedged against inflation. The problem with Social Security is that the absolute dollar amount of it is inadequate for most people. I mean, it's barely adequate. So, and so that's how people get pressed. The COLA adjustment built into Social Security is the CPI, and the CPI adjustment comes pretty close to taking care of Tom, Dick, and Mary's increased costs year to year. But the problem is Social Security puts you in a very close pinch with real expenses.
But again, though, Sandy, if you look at what Social Security, if you look at what people are getting, it's been eroded as far as buying power is concerned, because even with the CPI, and they use numbers. Keep in mind, there wasn't any increase in Social Security.
Even if the ebbs and flows of the stock market and the ebbs and flows of all of these things happen, at the root of all of it is it a meritorious idea? And long term, is it serving the purpose that it was created for? And the answer to all those things are yes.
Well, I would. This is the one thing I would say. I do think though there has to be, people are living much longer, and we have to get away from this idea where people can just retire in the public sector at 55 years of age and expect that they're going to just get a pension and everything else until they die.
Well, David, there are people.
I just think we're bopping around from issue to issue, Dave. My sense is that you think Social Security is okay, that you think it's inadequate, that it's not properly adjusted for inflation.
It should be also adjusted for based on age.
Okay, David. All right, David.
All right,
David. Thank you very much for the call, David. Thank you very much for the call. Go ahead, Sandy.
No. I just think that, in fact, David there was what he was describing was not really a set of conservative arguments that would be against Social Security at all. I think he's in favor of Social Security. He'd like to see it adjusted upward, in fact, in some respects, or adjusted for age. Anybody who's relying on Social Security is hard-pressed to make it.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's true, but they are making it.
Yes.
And it requires pulling in one's horns to an extent that might be uncomfortable. And so Social Security for lots of people is a supplement to other things for them. But for some people, it's not a supplement at all. And in fact, it is an important element of our safety net. It was built in the 1930s to recognize the fact that when people reach the end, when the middle-class workers of America reach the end of their working life, they needed some help and some support from the government because they couldn't be expected to go to work themselves.
Sandy, and it's been providing that.
Yes.
Nobody can argue about whether or not the purpose in which Social Security was created has served the function that it was created.
Yeah,
to do, and there are people who, and sometimes I think we forget that there are so many people who rely on that. It's as meager as it can be sometimes for people who work their entire lives and never really made a lot of money. That's there to at least know once a month I got that coming. Let's go to CJ. CJ, what's going on, man?
Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call, and I do love Connor's music. I miss his visits. He doesn't pick up anymore. I don't know, maybe he's tired of me too, like a lot of the other hosts. But
that's not true, CJ.
This monstrous bill that was passed this weekend, what did the Congressional Budget Office score that? Yep, not going to do a thing for inflation till 2031, and you got to guarantee me that these entitlements are going to be adjusted between now and then. Not going to happen.
Well, CJ, let me just ask you a question. I was talking off the air with.
So let's do this before we get into this. Yeah. Let's go to a break. Tom, I see you from LA. It's Mondays. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. You guys hang on. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back.